You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures. Welcome to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
Totally different radio voice now. Welcome to episode 265.
Episode 265. It is the post Dragon Con. Jin is back in her regular life episode.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the half of the episode will be a little bit of my recap. And the other half will catch up on news, which will, I guess, mostly come from the Geek Father because I unplugged from the news. Wow, that's gone.
Well, most of it's probably just going to be D23 announcements and updates.
Whereas I avoided con crud last year, I have come back with it this year. So yay me.
is it come back double time on you this year?
No, it is by no means the worst con crud I've ever had. And it's not COVID. My husband got COVID.
Well, that sucks. How's he doing?
Really not that bad, considering. I mean, we weren't as diligent with as others were with masks, but that's because we spent a lot of our time outside.
Right.
And unless we were around people we didn't know outside or in a crowd, you know, we didn't have them on, but when we were inside, we had them on unless it was time to take photos. Like, I took a lot of photos, and as I'm looking through them, I'm like, man, people are going to look at these and think we did not wear a mask at all. Because, you know, we took them off for photos, yeah, for the most part. But like, we always had them hanging on our, we had them hanging from our wrists like bracelets so we could pop them right back on.
Yeah.
I mean, our group is smokers, you know, especially the husband smoking cigars. So we do spend a lot of time outside, and even being the person who like runs the party, one of the main party group or biggest, not main, the biggest, hey, find a party at Dragon Con groups.
Sure.
Online, like, I didn't really go to any because they turned into Line Con. And I kept getting,
lines waiting to get into the party.
Oh, like some of them were like 4 hours long. Like, I kept getting updates from people throughout each evening on the parties we were considering going to. You know, how long's the line? Is it in a big room or a small room? Are they letting you leave to take a bathroom break and come right back in? Or do you have to get back in line? And I don't think I made it into one official.
Shit, ain't no way I'm waiting party. In line 4 hours to get in the party. I don't care how good the party is.
You know, so I went to more like the group meetup type of parties or patio parties.
Right.
Like there's a big party at Trader Vic's on Thursday afternoon, and it's on the back patio. So you're able to be outside. So even if you're around people, you can spread out outside, which, you know, like, yeah, Dragon Con is, it's my happy place, but I'm not ready to be in a room, like in an enclosed room with a lot of people.
A lot of strange people are just breathing on each other. I don't know what kind of cooties you got.
Yeah. So, well, I guess since we're already talking about it, well, we'll do the recap on the first half of the show.
Sure.
So as usual, my group goes in on Wednesdays. So we were at the airport 4:40 a.m. Wednesday morning, got to Atlanta about 9 o'clock in the morning over there, checked into our hotel. It's the first time we've stayed at the Sheraton, which is one of the main five hosts, and I have already booked it for next year.
So all the years that you've gone, this is the first time you ever in the host hotel?
No, this host hotel.
Oh, okay.
So like the big five are Hilton, Sheraton, Westin, Marriott, Hyatt. My first 2 years, I stayed at the Hilton, and then I switched to the Westin for 8 years. Last year we found a new hotel that was a not host that made a mistake in their booking prices. So we booked it before they caught their mistake and got to stay really cheap, but
got the hookup.
We weren't very, we were like a 15 minute walk from the center of Con and Ubered a lot. And I was like, okay, you know, it was nice to save money for a year, but we wanted to go back to the host. So we switched to the Sheridan, which for years has like been a punchline of Con amongst people, like that it's the old folks hotel.
Aren't you the old folks now?
I mean, technically, yeah. But so it looks like it has not been updated since the 60s.
Ooh.
And the hallways is very much like you're in the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. Like,
we can open the elevator and blood's gonna pour out.
we kept expecting to see a pair of twins pop out and from one of the hallways. We looked, there's only 11 floors in this hotel, and we were on the fourth, which technically from a standpoint of where you're staying in the hotel, looks like you're on the second. We ended up having a balcony, which was hidden behind the curtain, and we opened the doors, and we have a poolside balcony. And the balcony completely wraps around, so there's not like, it doesn't separate you from your neighbors, so you could just walk around a full circle. And the pool courtyard is inside with the roof opens up, and it looked like you were staying in the French Quarter in New Orleans. So it was beautiful. Like, we were just like, okay, this hotel might be old and considered the quieter hotel, but like, this is gorgeous. And they don't close the pool during Con. They even have one of the nights they have a pinups by the pool party. And we have never made it before because this hotel has never been close to where we've been staying. So, and they set up a food truck park in their parking lot. They're the only hotel who does that. And they had this Greek truck, which ended up being a lifesaver. And it was so good, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, yes, the old folks hotel ended up being like, it was so comfortable. It was so quiet when you were in your room. And, you know, unless you had drunks in the hallway, and you could hear the DJ from the pool parties, but it wasn't bad. The beds were comfortable. It was real easy to get coffee in the morning. And I've always had to wait an average of 20 minutes at all the other host hotels to get coffee. Well, we did all, you know, our Wednesday night pre-con shenanigans, dinner at Trader Vic's, going to all the welcome home parties. And in the past, me and Courtney have always been like we are going to party till 2 o'clock in the morning on the unofficial night. This year, everyone else ducked out before midnight. And I was just like, no, I got to make it to the countdown. Cause we do, the attendees have a countdown like it's New Year's Eve on the unofficial night, because Con officially starts on Thursday. So as soon as the countdown was over, I leave the camera. It's like, all right, I'm done. Let's go. Back to the hotel. Yeah. And Thursday morning, everybody got to go get their badges. Since I was media this year, I couldn't get mine till 2. So I just went down in the morning and went straight into the official Con merch booth, which, as it turns out, we took our elevator down to the bottom floor where registration was, and it opened you up right into the line of the merch booth, which was like, okay, this is my spot. See y'all later. Go get your badges. It ended up being a good thing too, because by the second day, that booth was sold out of 75% of all the exclusive Con items that they have. Like, we were all able to get the stuff that, you know, some of it had sold out last year, we weren't able to get. So it was very convenient. And then we went, our first official party was, there's this creator, artist called Drunken Dragon, who makes some really cool Con related items. This year he actually got to partnership with the Con itself for the first time and make some officially licensed items, but he always has a meet and greet on the Trader Vic's patio. And we learned last year that the patio bar makes the drinks much stronger than inside, because they switch over to big batch drinks. So they cut their drink menu down to, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 drinks on the first official day of Con instead of offering their full menu. you know, because it makes it easier on the bar staff, because custom made tiki drinks are not exactly quick.
Right.
So we start ordering the Mai Tais and we realize they're the strongest they have been in years. Like, and it is, I mean, it is the way a Mai Tai should be made, but like there was so strong, you know, part of the group was like, I don't know how many I'm going to be able to have of these. And I'm like, I'm having three right now. Like, I just barreled through three of them.
Pounded them down like, let's get lit.
It wasn't even that. It was just, I love, Mai Tai is one of my favorite drinks. And even when it's strong, you know, if I'm,
you're like, this is delicious.
If
delicious.
If I'm socializing, I'm drinking. And we, you know, we're meeting up with all these various different groups of people out there on the patio party. And so chit chatting.
You're like, and that's the time when Jen realized she fucked up.
Yeah, no, it really is. Because so we were there for like, I think an hour. No, like 30 minutes. And then we had to go to Brian Humphrey's booth, the photographer, because he was doing a yearbook review. Well, we get there and they're like, oh, you've already gotten your chip for the draw, so you actually don't have to be back here for another hour. So I was like, well, I'm going back to Trader Vic's.
I'm going to get another Mai Tai. I'll see you guys in an hour.
So I go back over there, have another drink. Then we go back to get our yearbooks. That event takes like 20 minutes. And the other half of our group is at the, there's a cigar group of Dragon Con party on Thursdays at the speakeasy called the Red Phone Booth, where you actually have to type in a number in a phone booth and the back panel of it will open up and let you into this bar. So our group is there. So me and Courtney go meet them. And by that time, that party was already winding down. And they're like, well, we can still have a drink here. And I'm like, let's just all go to Trader Vic's. So I get the whole group to leave that party. And we go back to Trader Vic's, where I proceed to have two more Mai Tais.
So what is your Mai Tai count at this point?
I think we're at five or six. And still, everyone else in the group, like the new people we get there who order one, are all like, damn, this is strong. And
you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, this I'm like, no, I start doing that. I can finish yours.
Okay. I guess see where this story is going.
And I want to say by this time, it's barely 8:30. And we started this at five. This is barely 3.5 hours into the night. And then we, you know, start making the rounds of all the hotels to see which party, you know, to look at the lines for the parties, deciding, okay, we're not going to go to the West End because that's too much of a walk. We've already heard the lines are long there. The hotels were near. We're seeing that, okay, like, for example, the bunny hutch parties where everybody, you know, does a Playboy bunny Hef type of nerdy costume.
Sure.
That line is now 5 hours long. So, and we've done that line before. We've also entered their costume contest before. So we know what the room's going to be like. We know how long it's going to take to get in and decide it's not worth it. Since none of us did bunnies this year. And we go check out a few other parties. Some of them are in tiny rooms. It's like, well, we're not going to make it in, like, this got a long line too. It's a tiny room. They obviously didn't, it's a new party for this year. So and you know, you never know if something's going to be successful or not. So you started off in a small room, but obviously everyone wanted to go. So we're like, okay, we're not going to stand in this line either. So we just wandered around a bit. I really think by 10 o'clock, that's when I was like, I'm done. Like, I cannot do this anymore. And my nights get a little bit mixed up, but I think this particular night, a few of the others wanted to stay out. Cameron might've already gone back to her hotel. And I just wandered. I was like, I'm going back to the hotel, and just left. And it was close to where we were. So it's not like I took off in the streets or anything. And again, still relatively early, but I made my way back and went to the food truck part and went to the Greek truck, and they had loaded Greek fries, and I got them. I was so happy. Oh, I was dressed as a vampire this night. Yeah, that's right.
So you're drunk, dressed as a vampire.
And I have teeth in.
On Greek fries.
I start to try to eat the fries with my teeth still in. And I'm like, why does the food keep falling out of my mouth? And I'm like,
how come I can't get these fries in my face?
Yeah, like I have teeth in. So I get up to the room and Cameron has just finished a big ass bowl of these fries. And it's a huge order. So I'm like, look what I got us. And he's like, oh, I just finished some. So it's like, damn it. I have to eat all these myself. And I ended up falling asleep with the bowl on my chest. Like, fries just like halfway out of my mouth.
Just like an old person. That sounds sexy.
So that's, and it's not even 11 at this point. So the next morning when we get up, it's like, okay, you know what?
Why does the bed smell like French fries?
No, it was the Mai Tais did me and Courtney in. Now, granted, I had way more to drink than anybody else, but from this point on, for the next couple of days, I couldn't have more than one drink of anything. Like, not that I got drunk, I just didn't want it. Like, the Mai Tais spoiled me to where, like, I'm trying to have a rum and Coke, and my stomach's like, hey, I don't like this.
Hey. As soon as it touches your stomach, your stomach's like, no.
Yeah.
negative.
Yeah. So, and I can't say it's because I'm out of practice drinking. I mean, yeah, I'll go a few weeks without a cocktail or something. But, you know, sure, I don't drink the way I used to. But, yeah, those Mai Tais were so strong. It just, like, that totally changed my personal party culture for con. So I did, you know, I might have walked around with a drink in my hand, but I also had a bottle of water and ended up drinking more water and sodas than I ever had at con before, because the Mai Tais both spoiled me and ruined me. I would have a Jello shot here and there, but I don't consider that really, you know, that's not a drink. After that, like, we would go to like some meetups. Like, you know, ribbon trading, swag trading, which is where, you know, people bring little gifts to either hide or trade. We would go to patio parties. But from then on out, like, yeah, any party we tried to get into, the line was so long. So we switched gears and ended up focusing on concerts, because it some of the concerts you could just walk to because they're in the middle of a floor on a stage. Or they were impromptu breaking out on patios. So I got to, this is the most music I've ever gotten to see at con this year. So there's this band that's played a few times before called Vision Video. Courtney really likes them. And she described them to me as a mix between Joy Division and New Order. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm exhausted, but I don't want her to go to the show by herself. She really wants to see this band. It's in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. So we go. And then I totally get, like, she's dead on with the description. Like, and I'm looking around because, you know, by the last couple of songs, we're all standing up and dancing in broad daylight, like in a brightly lit room, which is weird to go see a new wave band in a brightly lit room.
Yeah, like, where's the mood lighting? Where's the darkness?
But we're looking around. I'm like, you know what? You can tell every single person in here who's our age, because we are all dancing the exact same way.
Like, it's like that old person new wave dance.
Yeah, it's like we're in junior high and doing that side to side sway with our arms kind of
shoulders just kind of doing the thing. Yeah, we all know the dance.
But they were great. And there was a band who had played before them called Wake Fire that was like almost like it's really hard, like a little bit of pirate sea shanty, a little bit of vaudeville, a little bit of pirate. So I ended up buying both of those band CDs because, like, this is fucking great. And then we were able to catch that Wake Fire band just playing an impromptu concert on one floor at their table, which was cool. Then we ran into these Irish musicians randomly in a smoking area at night, just playing a jam. And playing sea shanties. And then to top it off, Saturday night, I think it was Saturday night, we went and stood in line for 45 minutes, the only line we really did. And we got rained on outside, but we finally went and saw the Transformer band in person, the Cybertronic Spree.
And how are they?
Oh my God. The female bot, she did Barracuda. And as soon as the song started, I was like, oh, it's going to be awesome. But you know how hard it is to sing like Heart. And
oh yeah,
she hit every note, like every note. It was astounding. Like I lost my voice that night because I was singing along and screaming. And they turn 80s cartoon theme songs into like rock songs. So like they did Transformers and Power Rangers and I think they might have done He-Man. I'm not sure. But then they I think it's Led Zeppelin. And Jack Black's character sings it in School of Rock.
Oh yeah.
So they do that song and she's singing it. And I'm just like, how the fuck is she wailing this late at night? Because it's like they didn't start till 1:30 in the morning. Oh no, they got, but they're supposed to be at 1:30. They got bumped up to 11 p.m. at night. It's still late for a show to be singing, and they're all in full Transformer costumes, you know, and she's dancing around the stage and just wailing. It was amazing. So if you have never heard or seen of Cybertronics Free, folks, like look up the videos. It's wild. And I think I posted some videos on my Facebook, but yeah, I totally get the hype. It was great. And after that, I think I was out till, then we went, yeah, after that we went and had 2 o'clock in the morning pancakes at the Metro Diner, went to an arcade. The arcade was open till 3:00. And that was the first night I was able to make it up past midnight. And Sunday night, more of the same, caught some concerts, but no room parties. This first year we've stayed over Monday night. So we got to go to the unofficial after party, which is called the ADP. By most people, a lot of people have different names, but it's basically the alcohol disposal party, and that
whatever you've got left over, bring it.
So like the stuff, you know, because a lot of us fly in, we can't fly home with it. So, and then food, like leftover food and stuff, and it ends up being like there's people some people that I had been seeing every day through con, some people I hadn't run into yet. It ends up being my favorite event of the con because I'm like, this is like what it was my first year, where there's just all these nerds in the same room, some people in costumes, some not. There is impromptu board games breaking out, and when somebody well-known walks in the room, random cheers out, you know, break out. And it's not just everybody there drinking alcohol. There's plenty of people just drinking sodas and juice, and some friends showed up with pie, the unofficial drink of Dragon Con. So I switched to pie. And, but it just really had this, like, this is our con family feel. Like, this is the reunion part a lot of us at Dragon Con look for. It was in that room. And I totally get it now. And I don't ever want to miss it again. So now my con trip is now going to be a day longer every year, because that's the feeling I need to end the trip, you know?
Sounds awesome.
And again, like that night I ended up, I think they were ending the party at 1:00, and when 12:30 hit, I was like, I don't want to be in here when it's time for everybody to pack up and leave. And we have to, you know, deal with 200 people trying to leave the room at once. So we left, but again, like I still was able to make it past midnight. So I think out of 6 days at con, I only made it past midnight 2 nights.
So, I don't know what you're expecting. It's, you know, you're freaking middle-aged.
Every year prior, like I've only made it back to the hotel before midnight 1 out of those many nights. Like it's always been a late night, because like usually we would be at the arcade till like 2:00 in the morning or something, you know, not necessarily at a party, but just there's always something to do. And then this year I was just like, yeah, you know, my room's comfortable, I want to be there. So, oh, I did make it to one official party. That was the pinups at the pool party at our hotel, where it's, you know, half the people were swimming. We got there late, so we didn't see the pinup contest. And it was just me and Michelle for a while. And we really just sat on the edge of the pool and let our feet hang in and watched everybody like playing volleyball and keep away. But it was a cool people watching experience to see all the con people swimming, you know, or hanging out at the pool like we're at a cabana. It was interesting. And again, every year I go, it's a completely different experience. So like my party habits changed this year. I went to more low key reunion type of events and then got to see more live music than I have in all the years that I've gone, even though I've always wanted to catch the concerts, like made a point to do it once the Mai Tais downed me. It's like, okay, we're shifting gears now.
So how was your first experience as media at Dragon Con?
Well, I didn't do any interviews, which is not that big of a deal to me anymore. We've done media before together. Like, it's not that we're getting special access or anything, you know, like we don't get to jump the lines and I certainly don't expect to. But I think especially like with the way my focus shift and paying more attention to music and some of the group meetups we made, it made me not be such a passive viewer. You know, instead of like thinking about a bunch of other stuff while I'm watching a performance or watching how an event is going, I was filing it more of, okay, I want to write about this later or talk about this later. So I'm going to pay more attention and be more involved here in the now instead of being a passive witness. Honestly, like most of the, you know, the interview requests I'd sent in, one of the people, because I requested Anson Mal and Tomer Capon, Tomer had to cancel because the boys' filming schedule got switched and Anson was super busy. So I really feel like had that been approved, I would have been bothering him, you know, in his schedule, because he was doing a lot of panels. He was really available in the autograph area when he wasn't on a panel or photo shoot. I did request some of the musicians. One of the musicians, like, I could never find them. So I don't even know if they showed up or not. And the other one I requested, like, I did chat with them. I didn't interview them. But they were playing a really late show and I couldn't make it. So I bought their albums, you know, so I could listen to later. There was a lot of bands this year that are like really appropriate for my radio show. And I was very excited about that, you know, because even as media, like, I'm not going to ask you for your music for free. I didn't even tell any of them I had a radio show, because that's not who I was there representing media wise. You know, I wasn't there for my radio show. I was there for the Dragon Con report for the ESO network. But I was very excited to get a lot of new music from bands that I've never heard of, because, you know, not somebody we get down here in Texas, and it's not somebody, I didn't tour with my band through those areas that these people play. So it's not people I've had access to before, and I love discovering new music. And I see you making that face over the football game. It's fellas.
I'm paying attention to you, but I'm really trying. I'm sorry. I'm totally focused, but I, you know, my team is not having a great second half. That's all. Okay. So
yeah. So I probably came home with 5 CDs.
Which, well, that's good. I mean, you're discovering new music.
Yeah. So I'm excited to introduce the listeners of my radio show to these bands that, you know, like, I know have never played in San Antonio, you know?
Right.
So that's exciting for me because I've been in the roots rockabilly honky tonk scene for over 20 years now, and I'm sure like a lot of people, I get jaded on the music because at some point all the bands do the same covers.
Right.
It's rare to have a unique sound because it takes a while to develop.
It's rare to have the originality that you're looking for.
Yeah, because it takes years to develop that, make yourself stand out. And you know, if you're writing original music because when I started writing, I wrote my music to sound like classic tunes.
Right.
So that it would have a familiar hook to it and almost try to trick the listener to make them think this was a song that already exists, you know? And it probably took me 5 years before I found my own voice and my own sound, you know? So I know how hard that is. So when I discover somebody who's done that, like I'm super appreciative of it. And I'm also really branched out in what I look for in roots music. You know, I'm a big fan of something that crosses a lot of genres, like mixing vaudeville with swing, with hillbilly, with Irish folk songs, you know, and different instrumentations. So yeah, that's very, very exciting. So, you know, shout out especially to the Dust Bowl Fairies, Mutant County Line, and Wakefire, who were at Dragon Con this year, because some good stuff. Good stuff.
They all sound legit. You're gonna have to send me links to some of those so I can, especially the Cybertronic Spree. That sounds like something I'd be down to.
Well, they got a very large Facebook presence, so they're pretty easy to find. But they've become I'd say one of the more popular bands at Dragon Con, you know, because of how talented they are, but also because, you know, they're in full on Transformer costumes.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It wasn't super different going as media. Like I said, you know, since I didn't do interviews, I just wasn't as passive in the way I paid attention to things. And I'm, you know, I'm, it's up in the air next year. We had a few of our group volunteered for the first time this year. I'm considering when it's going to be time for me to switch over to that. But I'm also interested in, you know, possibly switching over to attending professional and getting involved with more panels. I'm not sure yet which way I'm ready to go, because I know whichever way I go, like, it's going to be that for years. Because, you know, let's use Mike Faber as an example, you know, from the Dragon Con Report and a bunch of other ESO network shows. That band did 19 panels this year.
That's
19. Like,
why not go for it if that's what you want?
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing where it's like, once you start doing panels, like, if you don't suck at it, more people will, from more tracks, will ask you if you would like to be a part of the panels.
I can't imagine you sucking at it,
seriously. No, I'm just saying I don't want to do 19. Like,
who says you have to do 19?
Yeah, I know. But then it's also like, if you go to volunteer and you don't suck as a volunteer, well, you get to move up in the ranks and you can switch departments. And so, like, because like both Michelle and Julia volunteered this year and they did great at it. And now they're going to get to, you know, have more of the shifts they want next year, but you still got to do 25 hours. So it's, the consideration is like, I've gone light on my costuming the past 2 years. I mean, I've still brought 7 costumes, but I haven't done the heavy duty builds. Shoot, I was sewing up until 2 days before, no, the day before we left for Con, I was still sewing stuff.
And that's you going light.
That's me going light. Yeah. But Grant, that last day of sewing, I was sewing matching masks for all of us, because we had, you know, we do a lot of matching costumes. So I was making sure we all had masks that matched, as well as putting, like, we use the Cricut to do vinyl logos and stuff on them all to match our costumes. Like for John Wick, we made ones that said Baba Yaga. I made a Dunkashane one for Cameron because he did Ferris one day. I made a few different ones with the Dragon Con logo on it. Stuff like that. And then we made Marriott short caftans this year. So I was still sewing mine and Michelle's until 2 days before con. But, you know, I've had big plans for costumes for a while, and I've put it on hold because after Aria, the last couple Aria ones, they were time intensive. And the next one I want to do is a Viking costume from Valhalla. And it's going to involve a lot of leather work, like possibly months worth of leather work. So it's if I ever switch to volunteering or being more on panels as a professional, I'm going to do less costumes. So I feel like I need to get these big builds out of the way before I'm ready to switch to that. Or I'm just going to have to accept that I'm only going to like get that. I will only bring like 4 costumes in the future.
The evolution of Little Bit at Dragon Con.
So I don't know when I'm ready, but I think we already have at least 7 planned for next year.
Of course you do.
So, and it's,
why not?
The years of relaxing and making easy ones, they're over is as of next year. So, which means, yeah, I can't wait till July to start making them like I did this year. To be fair, I moved. Like moving put a wrench in all of that. So
stupid moving.
Like we were still remodeling our kitchen until a few days before we left for con as well. And now we get to start remodeling the Tiki Bar arcade room. So but yeah, there's my rambling Dragon Con recap. So we will take our first break on the show and be right back to catch up a bit on some of the nerd news that's been happening right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Martha.
What?
Do you like nerd stuff?
I do.
And do you like adult beverages?
I super do.
Well, then you should join us with a drink.
With a drink!
With a drink. But first, let's talk nerdy.
Clink! On the ESO Network.
We'll see you
on Tuesday. Maybe next Tuesday.
Maybe.
It was the dawn of another podcast. The Epsilon 3 is a dream given form. It's a home away from home for 3 guys to watch a 90s sci-fi classic TV show. 3 guys with microphones over 3,249 miles apart, all alone in the night. The year is 2021. The name of the station is Babylon 5. The name of the podcast is the Epsilon 3. Veer, bring me a drink.
And we're back. Oh. So I got just a few news tidbits out of Dragon Con, mainly because we had Eddie McClintock and Allison Scagliotti. I think that's how you say her last name.
Yes.
And they teased and discussed that there is discussion right now of having a Warehouse 13 reboots the wrong term. Revival, I guess, would be the better word. So those discussions are happening. That's the biggest news I saw coming out of the panels.
Well, that would be excellent. I'm all down for that. The biggest, real, I guess, the biggest thing that was happening in nerd news over the whole time you were at Dragon Con was really Marvel and the D23 Expo. Disney 23, all Disney, all the time. They unleashed a few trailers and announced some things. First off, they had a wonderfully awesome surprise performance from the cast of the fictional Rogers of the Musical, which opened D23. They performed the you know, I could do this all day, you know, the whole deal. And it was wonderful. I wish I could have seen that. That would have been awesome. Starts off, they unveiled a trailer for Disney Plus's Werewolf by Night special featuring Gael Garcia Bernal. So it had this really nice kind of trailer that was all in black and white. It was shot very like it was a, you know, classic, you know, 50s kind of B movie horror, you know, movie setup. And it's so very, it's like an Every Hunter for Themselves special. It's wickedly campy, black and white. And it's features a heavily scarred Bernal, ominous cult members, and what appears to be the Man Thing. So we won't know any more about it really, I guess, until it arrives on Disney Plus on October 7th, just in time for Halloween. So really the biggest trailer they unleashed was Secret Invasion, which kind of gave me more of the Captain America Winter Soldier kind of a spy thriller kind of vibes. So Nick Fury is back on Earth and ready to stand up to the Skrulls in the official trailer for Secret Invasion. Or at least we hope it's him. We don't know. So Fury can be seen meeting with a collection of fellow characters, including Maria Hill, Everett K. Ross, the Skrull Talos, and James Rhodey Rhodes, aka War Machine. So he's, I guess, coming back to say this is his war alone, and he says he's the last person standing between them and what they really want, which I'm assuming is the bad Skrulls. But we won't know until 2023. So, and it's on Disney Plus.
Oh, see, and I've avoided all the trailers so far because I'm just not ready to like go down the list because there's so many. But I did see the press announcement that they finally revealed the Thunderbolts lineup.
Yes, right? They did.
Yeah.
So Thunderbolts lineup looks like it will consist of Val. Looks like she's going to be the leader of the group. We've got Ghost. Anyone remembers who Ghost is
from? But I'm glad to see they're bringing her back because I did find her character intriguing.
Yeah, so she's from Ant-Man and the Wasp. They got the Red Guardian, which is nice to see him. I hope they keep him chubby. It'd be great
and funny. Yeah,
and funny, absolutely. Yeah. David Harbour's gonna have to bulk back up.
Yeah,
we got Elena Belova, who's the new Black Widow, and we've got Bucky, the Winter Soldier. He's back in action with a new team. And we've got U.S. agent John Walker. And we have, who's the one?
It's the another one Taskmaster.
Taskmaster, that's it. Yeah, so that's the lineup. I was hoping for Abomination, but we might still see them. Who knows? But that's the Thunderbolts cast. And so that they just, you know, unveiled the cast. It wasn't a trailer. And we, you know, the show isn't set. Well, actually, it's a movie. It isn't set for release till July 26th, 2024. So,
yeah, but I mean, even for being 2 years away, I am surprised we're getting the lineup announcement this early.
Yeah, it's yeah. But I guess they got things further along than we thought they were.
Yeah. I saw a trailer that kind of like broke the Disney groups. And I didn't even know this was happening, but that they're redoing the Neverending Story.
Yeah.
And Charlize Theron's going to be in it, but why does it need to be rebooted? Can't you just continue it like they're doing? Like, why not go the Willow route, you know, and tell a new story? That's definitely a movie that, like, I think even, like, yes, the effects have not necessarily held up to the adult eye, but that's still a movie that every kid that watches it falls in love with, even today standards, you know, I think.
Right.
So it's an interesting choice. Like,
you're right.
I like, it's the same, like, you know, we're getting another Hocus Pocus, but it's a evolving story. Willow, evolving story. The new Enchanted, evolving story. These aren't reboots or recastings. So I don't understand the thought process. Because that's like saying, oh God, what's another beloved movie like The Neverending Story?
That'd be like doing a Back to the Future and then rebooting it, like doing a remake or something.
It's well, they can't because Zemeckis made sure they can't.
Oh yeah, they locked that up, which thank goodness they did. Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes just let it be, just leave it as it is, and it's
until you know,
leave them as time capsules to, and just and, you can and go back and enjoy them as they were, and they were just fine.
Yeah, and just set a story in the same universe. Like,
right.
What's
you don't have to keep redoing the same story.
You can give us new characters. I don't need a new Bastion. I don't need a new Falcor. I don't even need to see Falcor updated. Falcor is perfect. And
leave Falcor alone.
In his goofy old self. And do we really need an updated version of watching Artax die?
No, don't. I don't want to see that again.
No, I don't. It's, I don't need
tragic
that
to enough be, the first.
Yeah, time. I don't need that to be more dramatic. It's it's bad. The original was bad enough on its own. Do we really need a more traumatizing childhood scene for the new upcoming kids?
No, we don't. But what it we do been, get.
This is not making people cry enough.
We need to re-traumatize these Generation X kids because, yeah, that's what we need to do. So we also have Ke Huy Quan joining the cast of Loki Season 2. If you don't know who that is, think of Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
And if you haven't seen it, there's a lovely reunion photo of him and Harrison Ford from this past weekend making the rounds online.
He was there because him and Phoebe Waller-Bridge unveiled the trailer for Indiana Jones 5, which has not been released online yet, and I'm sure I will devour it repeatedly over and over and over again because it's probably going to be awesome because it's being directed by Mr. Mangold, so who directed the Wolverine. So I'm hoping for good things for that.
Didn't they also announce that Shackman is directing, is doing Fantastic Four.
Yes. So that's not coming out until November 8th, 2024. They gave us more details about Captain America, New World Order, which adds Shira Haas. And Tim Blake Nelson is returning as the leader. After 14 years, you're wondering where the leader is. Well, they are
I forgot the leader was even.
They are reintegrating the Incredible Hulk people back into the MCU. So Sam Wilson will be getting some help from friends new and old in Captain America New World Order. This installment will also feature the return of Isaiah Bradley, played by Carl Lumbly, and Joaquin Torres will be the new Falcon. Tim Blake Nelson will be coming back as the leader. He's a rumor to be the guy that is going to be in charge of the, it's not the Illuminati, but it's another evil group that, you know, also included like some other people I can't recall. But I don't know, man. It's hard to keep track of all these nerd, you know, evil groups and you know, the shit gets, you know, unwieldy after a while. So, but yeah, that's, we got to look forward to that May 3rd, 2024. So I'm hoping, there's rumors that the leader is supposed to be the guy that is trying to obtain Jennifer Walters' blood. Because we noticed that in She-Hulk, that the people that attacked her were trying to go after her blood.
Speaking of, I'm She-Hulk. I find each week the more and more complaining people are doing online to just be getting so annoying and old at this point. Like, it's like people can't accept that this is a comedy, like a real comedy. There's like, well, the fourth wall breaking, I could stand, and following her love life, I guess I can deal with, but I draw the line at Nicki Minaj.
Huh.
And I'm like, really?
It was, that was Megan Thee Stallion.
Or Megan Thee Stallion, yeah. And I'm like, really? Because I thought that was hysterical. Like, I just want
to... Yeah, I don't see what people are complaining.
Go around to all the... Because it's men. I haven't really seen any women complaining. And have to keep saying, guess what? They didn't make the show for you.
Yeah, no, it's... You know, I had some of my friends complaining, like, well, you know, show's got an agenda, and it's woke, and it's trying to show that, you know, it's like the women are superior to men. I was like, well, the show is literally called She-Hulk, about a woman who can Hulk out and is stronger, faster, more power, you know, powerful than pretty much every other guy besides her, you know, cousin.
And it's literally based on a comic that's been out for over 20 years.
And she's a lawyer, so she's highly intelligent. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of men out there that she's superior to. Like, that's just the deal, man.
Like, what? I mean, you're either going to complain that it's too much like the comics or not enough like the comics. Yeah, like, and it's like the comics. So
yeah, people just have, and you know, other complaints are, yeah, you know, it's, there's not any kind of world-ending, world-building stakes. I'm like, well, not everything has to be, oh geez, end of the world stakes all the time. That gets fatiguing.
Well, and the last couple of shows, that was the complaint people had. Why does the world need to be ending in every episode?
At this point, the MCU's been around long enough and been successful enough that it's at the stage where people are going to complain and try to tear it down.
But also, God forbid they make one show out of all the shows for women.
It's just going to bring out the incel.
Or the female leaning audience, you know?
It's just going to bring out the incel complaining bullshit asshole douchebags. That's all it's going to do. And like you said, the more it goes and the more people seem to enjoy it, the more people are going to complain about it. It's just the nature of fucking social pop culture and social media age.
But it's just like, you know what? Men have so many shows and movies. Can't we just have one? Like, just one that doesn't suck. We finally have one that doesn't suck and doesn't treat the female audience like we're idiots. Like, yes, the CGI could be better. The mocap could be better. But that does not change the fact that it's well-written and it's funny and that Tatiana is perfectly cast, in my opinion. Absolutely. And also, like, I saw people complaining about Madison last week, like saying, I don't understand why Madison is so popular right now. Like, she's just a drunk party girl. And it's like, have you not left the house in 10 years? Like, we all know that person. That person is involved in every single fan group. Like, I could point out 20 Madisons alone at every event I went to at Dragon Con last week.
I love the stuff with her and Wong, like, just... Wong is just all trying to just watch his shows and she's just coming in
spoiling them.
And you're like, I've got that friend. Yeah. You're like, no, what are you? Yeah, we all know that person. I think it's wonderful. I mean, I love the show. I think it's fun. I think it's exactly what it needs to be. And I mean, there are plenty of other shows on Disney Plus, and there are plenty of other movies coming out in MCU that are going to have world, you know, danger. The world's in danger and we need these heroes to save it, and these, you know, got monumental stakes. There's gonna be plenty of that.
This is a palate cleanser. Like, just let us have nice things, people. Nice things. There are plenty of things
for you. Let the ladies have their thing, man. It's not going to in any way infringe on your male, testosterone filled action movie, letting the ladies,
because I feel
it's
we're getting more LGBTQ plus representation in the show as well. It's not overt. We're not,
right.
I mean, we're not there to where they can just be more open about it. No, I know you don't mean it, but I was catching myself doing it as well. When I say, let the women have things, let us have something that's not macho, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what I mean to say is, whatever it is, it's not going to infringe upon your male stuff you enjoy as a guy. Like, there's plenty of stuff, and there still will be plenty of stuff out there for you to enjoy. No need for you to harp on something that is made for women to enjoy. That's not for you.
For a different audience.
It doesn't all have to be for you, dude. You know?
Yeah, you're not losing any content.
Right.
In like the process. Just other people are getting more content.
Like, just relax. Just calm down. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So, yeah, that was like the major stuff they announced at D23.
Yeah.
There was some Star Wars news.
It's just mainly trailers. We got the Andor trailer
and Andor stuff.
It's not really anything different than we got out of Celebration a few months ago.
They did have an official Tales of the Jedi trailer, which looks interesting enough. They did announce who's going to be playing Ezra Bridger on Ahsoka.
Great match for the animated character too.
Iman Isfandi.
Yeah, he almost looks like he is the exact person they drew that character from.
Ezra Bridger plus 10-15 years, and
yeah,
like that is one handsome dude. The hair and the whole thing, yeah, did really excellent casting on that.
Yeah,
and that we even know that Hayden Christensen is going to appear as Anakin Skywalker, so that's going to be interesting. I guess in a flashback sequence, they talked about the skeleton crew. Jude Law appeared on stage at the panel as the first image of him in character on the show appeared, and John Favreau talked about how the genesis of the project came about while he was filming Spider-Man No Way Home with director John Watts, who's now executive producer of Skeleton Crew.
Oh, and I think we also got the first teaser trailer for Mandalorian season 3.
Yes. So that's what's the major stuff that went down.
Yeah, I mean, technically today is the last day of D23, so I'm sure a few more tidbits will come out tonight. Yeah. And I believe, we're pretty much at the end of our hour, but we are going to save House of the Dragon and the Rings of Power for next episode because, I kind of feel like we're both in too early in on the story to really...
Right, it's just starting to get good, man.
Well, especially, Rings of Power had me at the beginning, but after episode 3 this week, I can finally start seeing more of the story form, but I need some more. I need to get a little bit further in to feel comfortable discussing it.
Right.
And same with House of the Dragon. We're starting to get a little bit more involved now, too. So, but as always, folks, we appreciate you spending an hour with us, and we hope to see you again next time. Until then, y'all take care out there.
And as always, don't forget your pillow. You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.